Take it away, Aaron.
Your karaoke microphone.
It looks so funny.
Sing Jessie's Girl.
Oh, yeah.
What is your go-to karaoke
song? Jessie's Girl.
Oh, it is Jessie's Girl. Just that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to do more than one performance. I am...
One and done.
Yeah.
One and done queen.
Like, I can't give too much of myself.
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
Then it's like...
I don't want to embarrass everybody else who has to, you know, follow. Come after me.
Do you do karaoke?
I don't really have a song. Like, I don't... No.
Yeah. But I just do Ice Ice Baby, but hopefully nobody beats me to it, because usually if there's a karaoke night, there's another white guy who's getting up, who's doing
that
it before
just
you.
Like you.
Do you know all the words?
Yes.
It's you don't need to look at the screen?
Oh, I can look away from the screen completely. Sometimes I'll check it to keep me on track, but Ice Ice Baby is my go-to.
Karaoke is so hard. Like, I can't stay on beat.
At all?
No, I don't think so. I always think I'll be good, and then I'm like, I have to catch up. I'm like,
I do like the TikToks where they have a girl or like a guy, and they put the karaoke behind them, and they're facing, and it's like, try and guess the song, and they're like, always wrong.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I guess when you're doing karaoke, it's not as easy to pick up on what song it is.
It's really hard.
Or you realize that it's actually a perfect remix with the song that you think it is, because the opening is the same BPM as the one that you think it is.
And it's sometimes it'll be in a different key. But the same chord progression in a lot of these pop songs. Anyway,
I feel like I would be bad at it.
Guessing the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not the studio recording, so it's not like the same.
Yeah.
Like it's not
and
Taylor
so many
Swift's
songs sound the same.
Yeah.
Yes, like especially karaoke versions.
Yeah, it's so funny hearing them too.
Yeah, watching people. So I'm like, I get why they would think that.
Sometimes I won't look and I'll just hear it. I'll listen to it too. I'll put it up to my ear and see if I can get it.
I went to this club in New York the last time I was there, and they have like a bunch of different themed rooms in this like one place. And one of them is just like an open concept karaoke room where they have like five of these mics just like strung in, and there's a DJ who's picking songs. But I loved it because the thing I don't like about karaoke is that like someone's always on the spot.
Yeah.
And if you don't really enjoy it, then it's not as fun. But this was just like a room full of people
like anyone
screaming
can sing.
And like handing off the mics to one another.
Wait, that's fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's
karaoke is like 90% vibe. Like you can't just go by yourself if you're not having a great night and like book a room by yourself and do karaoke.
Right.
A little sad.
Yeah.
There is a place in Atlanta, I think, that's really cool where they have a live band.
Oh,
and you do karaoke, so you pick the song. Yeah, he goes there all the time.
Yes, I'm so jealous.
I went there, and Sarah Hopkins too. Yeah, they
go
there a lot.
There.
What's the name of it? But
I want to do that.
I'd be so scared. That's like just performing
live
at that
band.
Point.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have to be. I would have had to have had like 10 lemon drops. And sing like Taking Back Sunday.
But the energy's probably awesome to like be locked in with a live band and like, all right, hit the solo, and then the guitar player does the solo. You're
how
like,
do you give an in ear? Like, how do you get there?
You still got the lyrics and everything.
Yeah, but like to hear the band.
They're right there behind you. I guess it's just more intimate. You can.
I like Tramp Stamp Grannies too. Do you know about that place?
No, but I like the name.
Tramp Stamp Grannies.
The name of this podcast.
You can do karaoke at Tramp Stamp Grannies?
I mean, it's kind of what it is. Every time we go.
It's kind of a strip club.
Tramp Stamp Grannies.
Oh,
you're thinking of Jumbo's Clown Room.
I'm thinking of Jumbo's Clown Room.
Tramp Stamp Grannies is a piano bar.
Also, not a strip club.
What?
It's Jumbo more of a strip burlesque, strip tease kind of place.
They don't get naked.
Right, but they get pretty close.
Yeah, well, they wear like bikinis.
I went for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
To Jumbo's Clown Room?
To Jumbo's.
Who'd you
for
go
what?
With?
My wife. And a friend of ours. We
I
just
love
had
Jumbo's.
Always wanted to go there. Yeah.
Tramp Stamp Grannies is a piano bar. So there's a person, and they'll have like different theme nights. So it'll be Disney night or musical theater night. And then there's a little like Venmo thing, and you just pay like $5 and to request a song, and then they'll play.
Aww. That was like, Howl at the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. We've been there a few times. But
that's in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's mostly musical theater, I would say.
Isn't there a place just like that in New York?
Probably.
Like a musical theater bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, like piano
bar. What the heck
is it called? Now that you mention it, though, I don't think it's supposed to be karaoke. Like the person playing piano, they have the mic. But every time we go, it'll be with like Tristan and like some of our crazy friends. And they will take the mic from the performer and then it becomes karaoke.
Iconic.
And like the bartenders and servers too, they'll like get on, be part of the show too.
Fun. Can they sing well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like people who are musical theater people who also work as bartenders to
that's like that restaurant in New York.
I'm fascinated by
just go there.
People who can play the piano so well and they're looking up a song that they're probably reading for the first time and they can just read the music and move into the keys and know the tempo.
That is like any instrument.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me. All of it.
Or singing in general. I'm like, how? I wish
singing
I could
notes
that.
Is crazy. Like when you see choir people and they read notes and they sing it with their voice. I think that's a superpower.
Yeah, you're moving wind through muscles. Yeah. It's just hitting the notes. Yeah.
With a piano, it's like, okay, the white key here, the black key here. Like you can do that over time. It's like reading a book.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's interesting though how the karaoke scene in like America versus like, you know, like Korea, Japan, where karaoke is huge, how it's a more of a private thing. You go out and you sing with your friends, you get a room, which they do have in a lot of places, like karaoke room places. But we in America, it's like, no, if you're going to do it, embarrass yourself in front of everybody you do not know. It's like the freaking X Factor.
Crazy, though. I feel like in LA, it's the first place that I ever saw that. I was like, too. What are these rooms? Like, this is so weird. Where are the places where you go to embarrass yourself?
Yeah. Like the dive bars. That
the Gaslight, that's a place, right?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we used to do it at
All Star Lanes, which I can't even speak about because it's so devastating. It shut down. And
no, what?
Yeah.
All Star Lanes, the one we used to go to with Christine Seidelko?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you must not care about it that much because it happened years ago. Don't be fake.
I don't go to that side of town, though.
No,
She subscribes to their newsletter. That's why she knows.
No, like we literally, TJ and I were like, should we buy it? And like,
should we buy it?
Oh, buy the venue to keep it alive?
Post-pandemic, I was like, we should just have a big party here because it's like this huge... Okay, so it's a bowling alley, Chinese restaurant, and like dive bar all in one place.
In total dive. Like it looks like it's 1983. Yeah.
And there's like a stage that you would just do karaoke on, but like people wouldn't even be paying attention because everyone's just like,
it's just so many things going on.
Dive, yeah. Which was like my ideal bar situation. Like I love a dive bar. I don't even think I ever bowled there.
Even though I love to bowl.
Yeah.
Bowling, every time I do it, I'm like, why am I not doing this more often?
I love bowling.
Yeah.
We used to do it so much in high school. That would be like a, can your mom drive us?
Yeah, yeah.
Type of thing. Remember when like cosmic bowling became the thing was the big one.
I had my own bowling shoes in high school. That's how often I went. Of course,
me too, because I stole them from the bowling alley.
I think I stole bowling shoes from that one place because I would get drunk and just walk
out. That's why you leave your regular shoes with them behind the counter?
Yeah, it's happened.
I calculated that like every time if I'm going bowling once a week and I'm paying whatever $8, if I just buy a $50 pair of bowling shoes within like 3 months, I'll be saving money.
Oh yeah, Mike, I just five-finger discounted those. I definitely walked out a couple times drunk, not realizing, to be fair.
Rocking the bowling shoes still.
But yeah,
it's crazy that people will stick their fingers in the bowling balls and then stick their fingers in the food. That is an insane thing to do.
I know.
People who
I
order
know.
Food at bowling alleys and just raw dog from the.
I've never thought about that.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. How unhygienic.
Spray some sanitizer in there.
Bowling is.
Yeah. And then they stick it in and.
It'd be nice knowing that when they got like pushed down, they were like being scrubbed. No, just think that's what happened.
Probably.
There's a little car wash. Yeah.
It's you're sticking your hand in a toilet bowl and then into the chicken wings.
I love just the animations. Like, bowling alleys when you do get a spare.
It's crazy that they used to have, like, I think this is just before our time, but you would go bowling and you would have to mark your own. Like things. There wasn't a screen. It wasn't automated. You had to write down what your numbers were.
Yeah.
And like,
I feel like there's still some places like that. And then I just don't wind up keeping score.
Like how can you got to like see and count. And like, it's not always easy to do that.
Yeah.
Have you ever played handball, which is like similar to bowling, but it's with a smaller ball.
And different pins.
And the lane's a little shorter.
Oh, I had that in my basement.
What?
Uh-huh, yeah. My dad had like a bowling game, but it was handball, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And like all of the pins were kind of on strings and they were
these things that they would go flat down and come back up.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like very arcadey.
Badass.
Yeah. Really badass.
Can you tell us about Korea? I know you just got back.
I know. I want to hear all about it, especially because you're probably so jet lagged. And we're like, I'm so tired.
For the listeners, Matt landed last night at 8 p.m. PST, and it is now 9:30 p.m. PST.
A.m. I'll give it to you.
9:30 a.m. Sorry.
I could never do that.
Which
and
is
there's
insane.
Like a 16-hour time difference.
So I would love to hear your experience.
I want to know too.
Where do I begin?
I guess first order of business. Did going to Korea make you not have Coachella FOMO? Like intended.
Completely. Okay. Zero FOMO about going to Coachella. Because that was the whole thing about Coachella. Oh, should we go? We've done it like 8 or 9 times. The pictures and the memories are all the same. It can't be anything new. And when you crunch up all the numbers of how expensive Coachella is, that's a trip abroad. For Coachella?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I had if I had a brand deal, but sometimes brand deals, they give you the money and then you have to spend it on the ticket or whatever. But yeah, housing. I've never had like free housing at Coachella. Oh, I thought you
did for some reason.
We did the 1 year, 2019.
Oh, yeah, 1 year for, 2019 with like the Vlog Squad house or whatever. So yeah, no FOMO, and especially when you're like abroad and everything else is on a different time zone at home, it feels like, I don't know, like time just doesn't exist. It like. Yeah. Feels like it's in a whole different reality.
Even though Vampire Weekend also a surprise played.
Was crushed about that. They announced that like the day before Coachella started.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a surprise?
Yeah, Vampire Weekend was. I think it's because they were having trouble selling tickets. And Vampire Weekend got announced, which was Matt's favorite band.
And they brought out Paris Hilton and Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
He brought out the most realistic Abraham looking.
What did he do?
Give person or like a hologram?
Like an impersonator.
To do what?
Do they sing about him?
I think they did it for the song Gold Rush, and I don't know. Uh-huh. I haven't watched it because I'm like so angry that I wasn't there just to see that show.
Okay.
You know when like you can't even watch the live performance of the thing that you love that you weren't that at?
You'll need like a week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But aside from Vampire Weekend, seeing everyone there, you were like, ugh, I'm totally fine with this.
Yeah, no. But I mean, my legs still felt as sore from walking around
did a lot
South Korea.
Did you make the most of your time
dust.
There?
Yeah,
like, absolutely. You really got it, like time zone shift, woke up, got after it.
Yeah, I think so. Right when you like land in a different country, for me at least, my adrenaline kicks so much in to where I don't feel like I need to go to the hotel and go to bed or whatever. You want to go get out and experience it as much as you can.
What time did you land?
Oh, we landed at noon, I think.
Oh,
or like 10:50. Okay, around
so then
that
you
time.
Like started your day and then went to bed normal time, Korea time, and then we're just
damn.
In.
Damn.
Yeah.
Did you can sleep on planes though, right?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. We got like the exit row or basically like the front row where there's nobody who's sitting in front of you. Oh, so
nice. The bulkhead, is that what it's called?
Is that what it's called?
Big front seat.
Yeah. Big front seat.
Did you play Spirit? Big front seat.
What? So I don't even know where to begin about talking about Korea. same thing I felt about Tokyo. One of the most civilized, cleanest places I think I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. And it almost makes you a little frustrated with just like, how does America not have this elevated of a sense of social etiquette?
Yeah.
Like the most quiet place too I've ever been to. Trains, subways, all of it.
As an ambulance siren.
I don't think I ever heard an ambulance siren.
There's
people playing
YouTube videos off their speaker while watching it in the subway.
TikToks,
everybody,
just so loud.
But the people, though, on their phones are dialed the fuck in on their phones. So when they're on the subway.
I think South Korea is like the most smartphone usage per person. I think that's a statistic that they use it more than anyone else.
They're clocked in completely.
Yeah.
And also just waiting for the subs, how there's a whole system of you have to like line up like exactly. You have to be in the queue waiting for the spot. It's not like a free for all getting on.
It's like going to Universal or Disneyland or something.
Kind of in a way, but it's just unspoken. You just stand behind the person that was just there before and you make sure that there's a space in the middle for the people who are walking out to exit.
Wow.
And then you enter
so
at
nice.
The same
we
time.
We can never do that here.
And on the subs, they have a section for elderly, pregnant, like disabled people. There's also a special pink seat on every cart that is for pregnant women.
Wow.
Patricia, though, we sat, like we thought we saw spaces right when we got on, but we didn't understand that the sign was for elderly people.
Did you go in the wrong line?
And an old man was just like, you can't sit here. This is only for elderly people. And we're like, my bad.
What if you sit there and then get up when they come?
No. I think it's pretty frowned upon that you're just sitting in it. But like the pregnant ones, though, I'd look at them and I'm like, I wonder if that woman is actually pregnant. Like, I don't think I ever saw someone fully pregnant, but like
Stolen
you would
valor.
See a young girl sitting in the spot and you're like, okay, I'm not going to raise any questions about
that. What if
someone
just sat down and put on like the Amazon like pregnant belly? Just like sat down and like attached it.
I need
like,
this today. That'd be a
pretty good hack.
Put my belly on.
And what else? I mean, I have a whole list of all like my observations of things that I like noticed about it.
I noticed also your phone isn't locking and it's stressing me out.
Isn't locking?
It's like on the table, but like it's just your notification. Like it's not.
Oh, I don't think I have my like it to go to
like to like it wasn't locked.
Oh,
it
was just because I got this chunky little phone.
I know.
Case,
I'm just letting you know. It might make your phone
does
die.
That fit in your pocket? You need a purse for that.
It actually does fit in my pocket.
That is the biggest obnoxious phone case I've ever seen.
Patricia and I like picked out each other's phone cases. It's when very we were cute. There. And it's I got her cute. Like a big block of cheese, and it has that's like a mouse and a cat on it.
Oh, cute.
oh, everyone is impeccably dressed.
Okay,
dressed to the nines.
No sweatpants.
No, not really. I didn't notice.
I feel like it's a big, big fashion place. Like a lot of fashion stuff happens over there.
Completely. And everything was so reasonably priced too. Mm. Like the dollar feels really strong. I mean, it's not like Thailand where you're going to get a massive three-course meal for like $5.
Yeah. Right.
But it is cheaper.
But you can get Botox for $5.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, $5 a unit. Because like I would say that the Botox there was like a third of the price. So that's what like Patricia told me.
Did you like get some?
I did not get Botox, but we got hydration facial treatments.
I was going to say, you like, look 5 years younger.
You think so?
Totally.
I want to go back. But no, we did not get Botox, but we did get a really great spa treatment.
This episode is sponsored by Way. Way is one of my favorite brands for hair care, skin care. They have lotion. Everything smells so good. And after you use some things, like I had this candle, I now use it as a little jar for my makeup brushes and stuff. If you're watching the video, you can see it's very cute. It's just like a tan cement color looking ordeal. But yeah, that was a good smelling candle. It's about to become summer and some of us have a hard time with frizz. I have a lot of flyaways, a little bit of frizz, but mostly flyaways. And Way just came out with their anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. My hair routine is pretty simple. I just shampoo, condition. Sometimes I'll do like a shiny mask in the shower, but the anti-frizz cream is great. I haven't used it that much just because my hair isn't like super frizzy, but I'm gonna use it a lot more when I go to Nebraska where it's gonna be humid, and I think it's gonna help a lot. It also smells so good. It's just like when you have things that smell like perfume, you want to use them more. Like a hair mask, a frizz cream, a candle, lotion, soap, like anything, just give it to me. It smells so good. The frizz cream also helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration, which I actually need because I've been dyeing my hair for so long. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code GOOD for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code GOOD.
Also, what I thought was interesting is that their bar scene is very catering to groups. It's not like a solo culture.
Oh.
You know, if you can go to a bar as like just a single person, as a solo person, and you go up to the bar and you get a drink. A lot of the places weren't like that. You can't even sit at the bar. They have a bar, but it's just for kind of like
that's cool.
Show and American vibes. They want you to go sit at a table
alone
with other friends and people.
Okay.
And
was it difficult to get around? Like, because I assume
I figured out the subway system on their app very, very well.
Do they? It's like an English app that.
Yes.
Okay.
You just have to, it's the same thing if like you get to New York and like if you type it in and you read how the subway system works, you can figure it out. But if you don't, I don't know, if you don't have the patience to read it.
Was there any like nightmare, oh my God, I can't believe this, or like this is fucked, like terrible things that happened?
Any night you just needed Domino's?
No, I never really was craving the American food. Though I did really want to try like McDonald's once just to see if there was a crazy thing. I did have Shake Shack at the airport on our way back because they had a Mexican burger that they don't have in the U.S. because the U.S. just added the Korean burger.
What is the Mexican burger?
Little cultural exchange.
Spicy Mexican burger. And it has like pepper jack cheese and like jalapeno and this like kind of spicier mayo, I
was
guess,
it
on it. Oh, it was delicious.
Wow.
Before a flight, I'd be like shitting my pants.
Just
yeah, 100%.
Just nightmare things. It was just annoying things where we really wanted to go to a baseball game. And like I was reading on Reddit that you just go up to the stadium and buy tickets. And you know how much professional baseball tickets are out there?
No.
Like $10.
Yeah. Mm. Did you go when you went to Japan?
No, I never did. Dang.
I wanted to ask you because you were posting this morning. You've been to like an American baseball game, right?
Yeah.
They are so much more fun.
Yes. They have full on like cheerleaders there.
The crowd is singing the whole entire time.
They have their own songs for like each team,
which it was crazy.
And I know we have like kind of our own rah-rah cheers that
we got the way,
but they have
it's so different.
These own custom songs that you learn to that are like the harmonies of American songs, but they cater it to their team.
That's so cute.
And
we loved it. That was like one of our favorite things we did when we went to
I wish
Tokyo.
I planned it a little bit better, because like last minute, the nightmare situation was that we thought we could just walk up and buy the tickets, and we get there and we learn that basically the game that was happening was like, it would be like the LA Lakers and the LA Clippers were playing. Both of like the teams that play at their own home stadiums were playing at the same time. And we were like, shit, I was trying to find the scalpers and there's nobody like scalping tickets out there.
Because they're just all good people.
Yes.
There's no crime at all.
And it was frustrating because we bought the jerseys for like the team and we kept thinking it was going to happen and then it didn't.
Well, how did you get in?
So then we came back the next day and got tickets. Okay. And I had a friend who was Korean who went and bought us the tickets.
Oh, so that's so nice.
Those were the only like, oh shit moments.
Good. I'm glad you got to go. That was like truly one of my favorite things I did in Asia.
Yeah. I will definitely be going back for sure.
Did you see North Korea?
Yeah.
Did you go to North Korea?
A little tippy toe touch?
I didn't.
Oh my God.
I didn't get your nose into a fascist theocracy.
I've been on the fence about like sharing like the pictures from it because I just don't know. Like,
I don't know if you need to, because I think it's a little bit. Maybe
I don't think people are going to be like, Matt supports North Korea.
No,
you don't know these days.
When we were there, like seeing it, we were like, oh, should we take a picture? Like, we're taking pictures, obviously, of the border, but like, you see people who are like smiling in North Korea's in the background. Like, is this something we should be smiling at? There's people over there who are being held against their will.
It's like smiling outside of Auschwitz. Like,
yes, it's not a thing like you smile and pose at, but it is cool to marvel. So yeah, we bought tickets to go to the demilitarized zone, which is basically, I think it's all along the border of South and North Korea, like which is 160 miles long, but they have basically this 3 mile long width area that's like chained off like a border where they've made just like this peace treaty behind it and you can't cross it. But we got to go on this tour and they had to take us through checkpoints and checkpoints. And
at first it was like, this is fun. Like,
and then you realize it starts getting closer and closer to what you're going to, and you're going, you know how they set up like barracks between like really intense military borders?
Like, so, like Children of Men or something?
You can't drive straight. You have to drive through a zigzag because if something happens, they don't want the opposing side to be able to easily maneuver into there. Once we started going through those, you're like, holy shit.
Like, real life?
Yeah, there's no turning back.
We've been taken.
Yeah, there's no turning back.
And like the troops get on board and they have to go and like get your passports, just verify you, everybody who's accounted for that you.
Were there a lot of people with you?
Yeah, it was like a full bus.
Okay.
And we had an English speaker.
Okay.
But everyone on the bus spoke English. But I felt like Patricia and I were kind of the only Americans. I think most people were from the UK or
other countries.
Yeah. And we get all the way up there. We get to go to this vantage point and just see it all laid out and getting to look through the
binoculars,
viewfinders,
and
seeing people in North Korea.
You can see people.
Yes, the village that you're looking at too. It almost looks like it's this big town. The woman told us that like a lot of this is fake. Nobody lives in these things, but there are a few people that do live out there. And just looking through them and like seeing them on their bicycles.
They
just
do a lot of that for
around.
Show.
Whoa.
Like when they send like reporters for Vice or something, they'll go into a supermarket and they'll show a supermarket that. There's like they hire actors to walk around the supermarket to make it look like people have supermarket access. It's the whole country is just like a full theater.
It felt like the Truman Show.
Yes.
Or you felt like they were almost kind of on repeat because like I would look and I would see these people like walking and then I would go look at other stuff at the exhibit. Then I go through the viewfinder again and I would see them and they'd be walking like in the same spot.
I would like to see the photos.
Yeah, I want to see them after.
And it was wild. They had almost like a digital viewfinder that was more intense. And so she could pull them up on the screen and zoom in and you could see them like kind of clear of them going about.
That's really – that is quite a wild experience to see.
I mean, the only way North Korea would allow that.
You're not
going
to let him share it with the world.
I don't think you want to post on Instagram.
He's not going to be like, great time in NK.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it was pretty – it was very, very wild. And we got to go through – we got to go down into these tunnels that they found.
Oh, my God.
So basically, South Korea has discovered these tunnels that North Korea has built – in to try to invade into South Korea. They have discovered, to this day, they've discovered about four tunnels, but they still think that there are many more that haven't been discovered. We couldn't even take photos of this, but we had to go, it was like 500 meters deep into the ground. And like the ceiling is like only 5 feet high. So I had hunched down, we had hard hats, and it was the most claustrophobic. Dude.
I don't think I could ever do that.
Oh my God.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It was.
Did you like sneaky try to film?
No. Oh. No. Not.
Were they like, do not film?
There were certain things that go, you cannot take photos of this, you cannot take photos of that. Ooh. Like any of the government buildings that and military bases that they had near the border, we couldn't take photos of.
That is so scary.
Yeah.
How long was that experience?
We were gone from about 8 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Oh my God.
Because it's an hour to get out there.
3 days. Yeah. I had anxiety like just listening to that. Yeah. Like I know I'm safe in this room right now, but I feel like I'm like trapped in North Korea right now.
I did feel though very, very safe and taken care of with the
group that you went with.
Stuff. Yeah, that you're with. It's just watching the main area where this military presence is and knowing that one day if there ever is a resurrection or knowing where all of that is and where it's going to be played out, it's almost just like this big battle site.
It's like a stage waiting for the play to start.
Yes, that's how it felt.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't want to be to spend too much time talking about it. But
well, you were missed yesterday. We did film an episode without you.
Who'd you film with, Joe?
He could not actually make it, which was not ideal.
Yeah.
But Carly and Aaron actually found someone else to film with.
Who was it?
I will let Aaron see if you can figure out who it was.
Okay, this sounds like, is it someone that I'm going to be geeking out about? Or wait, are they famous?
Let Aaron
I'll
see.
I'll do
let's see
our
if you
little spiel. I'll give you some clues.
Are they?
Nope.
No, I'm going to give you some clues. She will give you the clues.
Okay, so this person is in the podcasting space.
Okay.
First clue.
Any ideas?
Are they a male or female? Oh,
can't say.
I am giving the clues. The second
anyone, really.
Is this person is a board certified physician.
Okay.
This person is also a comedian. And this person, for some really weird reason, his arms are always like extremely tired.
You guys did not record with. Shut the fuck up.
Matt, it was incredible.
We surprised him.
They surprised me with Rick Glassman yesterday. We did 90 minutes with
then
him.
Then he'll probably go on Hoot and a Half.
Yeah.
Matt, it was incredible.
And he's like, wait, are you okay? Wait, this isn't Mike's reaction too. He like almost cried.
Yeah, you guys were both silent. Mike started crying.
We did 90 minutes with him.
Wait, are you okay?
He said exactly what you were saying.
Wait, I'm concerned. Are you okay?
I'm a little upset. Like, I wasn't here for it.
Well, it only happened because you weren't here.
Yeah.
You know who's I was listening to Rick Glassman, like, on my way here.
Good. Well, now I feel like we have an in.
Yeah, we have an in now.
No! I wasn't here for it.
Matt, the thing is, we wouldn't have done it. We would have. Yeah. It's just, you were gone.
Can he come back?
Yeah.
Yes,
he was super nice.
He felt really, like, yeah.
And I do think he would come on Hoot and Half,
and
for
sure. And we were also like, I really hope Matt doesn't get mad at us, because we were literally just doing it. I honestly didn't know who was a bigger fan.
Yeah.
I had
we
no
just
idea.
Know because you guys talk about
guys
it
just
here.
I had
it,
no
Matt,
idea.
It was fucking insane. They blindfolded me, and she goes, for some reason, his arms were always tired. And I go, no fucking way. And I lifted it up, and he was sitting right fucking there. And it was
and
amazing.
He cried.
I cried. I had to, like, get myself together.
That or Pete Holmes, though, is...
It was awesome.
This doesn't like feel real.
I know. I know. I literally
I'm having a really tough time. I'm so happy for the viewers of this podcast. Everybody, like, that's going to be a fantastic episode. I'm upset.
I don't even think we did it because it's like, haha, Matt's gone, and we got rid of that. I like truly did not know you were that big of a fan.
Yeah,
I thought like he was a bigger fan.
We thought you guys were the same, and so it would be like if Mike was gone, we would have done the exact same thing. for you.
So maybe
also,
Mike
we
will
did
be
not even know that he would respond to us.
No, we like out of the blue, we were like DMing random people, and we were. She was like, "Well, they bring up like Rick Glassman."
Like the night before?
No, weeks before.
We DM'd. I DM'd him like when we figured out you weren't going to be here for the episode. So we were like, "Well, let's find someone." And so
they DM'd like Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, we had a joke. I was like, "Bryan Cranston."
Yeah, we were like, "None of these people are going to respond."
Aaron Paul.
And he responded. He was like, "Yeah, let's do it."
And we were like, no.
They were telling me
way.
This whole story about Joe. I was like, I didn't even dress up.
Yeah,
I was
we
like
thought Joe was
I was thinking
coming.
About bits for Joe. And like oh, they wanted so. Me to move the podcast episode. I was like, I'm not moving it for Joe. Like, fuck that. And then we moved
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah,
because
we had to move the podcast
they had a whole
a couple
story
times.
Because
whole
like
thing.
Dude, it was Matt.
I, okay, I'm
so
trying
sorry.
To get out
I'm
of like
so
my.
Sorry. I know.
That is awesome. That is really cool. Oh, and you guys, it was a good pod too.
Yeah,
it was. Good laughs. Man, that's awesome. I am like, yo, that's like I listen to his podcast every day.
Do you want him on Hoot
to
and
be
half?
Fair, we didn't
yes,
know that.
I do want him on Hoot and a Half. I think, and then knowing that that's possible, yes, I'm excited okay. about that.
We
this
could for
whole
sure
group
do it.
Dynamic though, knowing that it happened without me. Crush.
I'm so sorry. Crush. I know.
It's okay.
That right when you showed that picture, I was like,
it. I know.
People are gonna be like, they're so mean to Matt. I'm so.
No, it wasn't a thing against Matt. And like, we didn't know. Like, you guys, the only reason we know you listen to him is because you talk about him on here, and it's equal. Like,
yeah, I didn't.
Literally, no idea.
Isn't that insane?
That's really cool.
Also, fun fact, Rick is the one who was like, can we take a picture?
Yeah, I didn't even want to ask him for a picture and he got up. He's like, hey, let's do a picture, guys. And then he
what'd
took
what'd you guys talk about?
Did
you guys have an awesome time? Did you guys just soak up in each other's awesomeness?
We talked a lot about Erin getting her finger up her butt from her doctor.
She had to get a finger up her butt yesterday at the doctor.
And then Mike asked him, he was like, what are you struggling with? They talked a lot about Judaism.
Oh, yeah, I asked
stuff.
Him about being Jewish. We got one. I said something about misconstrued, and he goes, it's Mr. Construed. And I go, oh, that was my high school science teacher. And they were like, huh?
I was like,
and then he winked
so
at me, and then we just kept
it.
Going. It was, yeah. Dude, it was, it
yeah,
was
we
like,
were like, oh, cool.
Oh, that is great. I don't know if I can watch this.
No,
episode.
You have to watch it. You have to watch
You'll
it.
You'll probably be upset. Not, I mean, because of obvious
he
reasons.
He got so
also.
Many of his like classics, like, and we'll be right back. Like, he did. He winked at me like three times. It
he
was...
did. He every time he winked, I laughed.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Ghostbed. Here at Good Influences, we love talking about the people that we adore. And when it comes to getting great sleep, we really love the folks at Ghostbed. As a family-owned company with over 20 years of experience, Ghostbed knows a thing or two about crafting the perfect mattress. They use only the most durable, supportive, and long-lasting materials, so you can trust that your bed will provide you with years of excellent sleep. What sets Ghostbed apart is their signature and patented cooling technology. Say goodbye to those restless, sweaty nights. Every mattress keeps you cool and comfortable so you can sleep like a dream. When you purchase a Ghostbed mattress, your comfort is guaranteed. With their 101-night sleep trial, you can try it out risk-free and experience the difference yourself. Plus, they offer free shipping and most items ship within 24 hours. Visit ghostbed.com/good to save 50% off site-wide. Ghostbed offers high-quality mattresses at a fantastic price. Their number one seller is the Ghostbed Luxe, designed with premium memory foam and cutting-edge cooling technology that reacts and adjusts to your body heat as you sleep. Or if you prefer more of a hybrid feel with both foam and coils, check out the Ghostbed Flex Hybrid for the perfect blend of comfort and support. And if you ever need assistance along the way, Ghostbed has a team of dedicated sleep experts ready to help you find the perfect mattress. They'll guide you through the options and ensure you're making the best choice for your needs. If you're ready for a more comfortable night of sleep, visit ghostbed.com/good. And because we're all about sharing the love here on Good Influences, use the code GOOD, G-O-O-D, to save 50% off your purchase site-wide. That's right, 50%. Visit ghostbed.com/good. Use the code GOOD to save 50%. Check it out. And now back to the episode.
I'm so sorry.
It was insane. It was truly, it was like, I felt like I want to make a wish. And I'm like sitting here with Carly and Erin, who were hilarious and great. And like, and then it was just Rick Glassman. And it was just.
We kind of let Mike just like have the floor.
Yeah.
It was insane. Because
he's like, I want to ask you questions.
I did. I had the exact same reaction. I had tears coming up and then I had to suppress them because I'm like, I just have to get through this.
No,
now.
I genuinely thought he was going to walk off. I kind of panicked for a second because he went dead silent and then did exactly what you did. And I was like, he's going to leave.
When she said the arm's tired, he was like, no way.
Like, he was like, no fucking way.
And he was just sitting there just like,
When you said board certified physician, though, I was thinking of who's the host of The Masked Singer? What's his name?
Oh, Ken Jeong.
I was like, I'm Ken Jeong in here? Like, what?
Honestly, that would be so fun.
That would be iconic.
I could do the same bit.
I did ask him if he had his appendix.
Oh,
because of the curse. He said that none of his
business. But he gets stomach aches a lot.
No, he said he doesn't want to talk about anything personal on the podcast.
But then told us a lot of personal things.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Wow. And then at one point he's like, all right, I think we found the pocket, when we were like really vibing, which was nice.
I think at first it was like, I mean, I was freaking out even when he got here, and I had to like surprising people is so stressful.
I
wasn't nervous about him. I was like, I do not know how Mike is going to react. And like so many like little things were going wrong. And so then I was panicking about that. But then I finally like went to get him, and then we came in, and then I had to do that whole bit with Mike, and I was like,
oh my
God.
She did the exact same line of questions.
But I was so nervous.
He's a podcaster, a doctor, and then, boy, my arm's tired. And
so I think like the first 10, 15 minutes was like all of us kind of just like coming like down.
There was a lot of tense energy. But
see, I don't even know if I would have actually liked to have been surprised with
him. Oh, really?
I feel like just like to know we have booked him on and coming in.
Yeah.
And I say that after like when I got surprised with Pete Holmes on Jason's podcast. I was so thrilled, but your adrenaline peaks.
It was insane.
And your mind almost goes blank because I would have loved to have asked him all these things and marinate on it before meeting him, but just being thrown into the spot,
I would have. When we have on 2.5, we'll have some more time.
Okay,
for it,
yeah.
But
cool.
Yes. So now we know.
That's really cool, guys.
I love you so much, Matt.
When does this episode come out?
It would have been the week before this one.
I think July 9th.
On my birthday.
His birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Matt.
Well, if we weren't recording today, we were like, we just post the episode and never say
and never anything. Tell you. Yeah, just let it go live.
But then I was like, no, we need to tell. It was so perfect that we recorded yesterday. We were at like 5 p.m.
And we recorded like 18, not even 8, 12 hours ago.
And then we're back this morning. I was like, we have to tell him like on camera to like,
He could not have been nicer too. Yeah. Just like.
I know, I DM'd him today. I was like, you were so nice and funny. And Mike hasn't stopped talking about it. Aww. Thank you so much.
Aww. Yeah. And then afterwards, we also did like a bit about like when you say goodbye to someone and then you walk the same way. He's like, I don't care. I'm not awkward about it at all. And then we walked outside and he goes, should we say goodbye before we all walk the same way? he's just so who we want him to be. Yeah.
That was such like a baby reaction.
I know. And like Rick wasn't the one who delivered it either.
Was really.
You're drinking angrily. It's
possible.
I just hate that I'm causing this within you.
Yeah, it's okay. Like I'm slowly now learning to accept it. The picture really, because at first I thought you were joking, and then when you showed me that picture,
the proof, the receipts,
it made it all real.
It was crazy because on Monday we recorded our podcast and we posted on Patreon on Monday, and we were talking about. We didn't say it, but we're like, we do have like a special surprise for Good Influences, but like, we're not going to say like much. Hopefully, I don't think Matt will be mad, like something. And someone commented and they're like, if it's Rick Glassman, Matt's going to be pissed. I was like,
damn.
I don't know.
And they sure are.
I don't know how they knew.
I'm not pissed.
I know.
The way I look at it is like, I think this is the best way possible that it could have happened, because now it's like, we know him. He knows
he's
who you are.
Yeah. And well, Mike had mentioned that you were like, you had told Mike or you had told Matt to DM him.
Yes.
And you were like, oh,
I don't think he would like know who we are or want to be with us. Like we're not in the same world, but.
So now he knows.
Yeah.
Does he follow you? Don't you know him?
He follows Jason and Jeff and like a few other friends.
Claudia Oshry.
But I knew him from Vine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Let's move on. Let's talk about something. Anything else awesome happened while I was away that you guys would love to
fill me
in on?
I don't know if we should tell him the second part.
Something else? What? What?
What's the second part?
I was trying to think of something. Like,
You give Lord, you show me another picture.
We actually started a podcast with Rick.
Yeah.
Me, Mike, and Carly are actually on his podcast next week.
Yeah, we just know you have so many. You probably couldn't do it with him.
There was a point early on where I thought he was going to be like, I'm firing my publicist. Like, I should not be here right now. Because it was just like.
Oh, because you didn't know how he got on.
And it was just like.
No, he definitely probably, like, people were like, what'd you do today? And probably was like, I don't know. I did some fucking dumbass podcast.
No, he liked
that. No, it was only in the first few minutes when I was, like, almost crying. And he's like, what am I doing here?
I forgot. What was he doing or saying during that?
He was just kind of looking at me like.
He was like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. It was similar to, like, Pete Holmes where, like, he was kind of like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they're used to super fans, like, freaking out in front of them.
But I did tell him. Yeah. Like, we were surprising someone. But I don't, maybe he didn't realize how deeply he meant to you.
Yeah. It was.
Matt's like.
Mm-hmm. I also did, like, there was a sense of guilt of, like, I can't believe Matt's not here for this. But at the same time, it's like, I'm going to do the best thing I can do to set him up to be in our world so that way we can get him on Hoot and a Half and do it the right way.
Went to the Comedy Store last night.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was Rick Glassman.
Rick Glassman invited me. No, I'm kidding. But he was there. It was great. You'll probably like this. I don't know if you listen to him, but Bill Burr was like a complete surprise.
Whoa. Are you kidding me? Billy Burr?
It was an amazing life. So my friend Annie, she has a podcast called Anniewood. And so she throws this like comedy show every month and she invites people that she really likes and stuff. And so it was David Spade. It was John Mulaney.
You said it like that.
Yeah, John Mulaney. And I forget her name, but she was like the aunt on Sabrina. She's an actress. She's hilarious.
Yes, she's hilarious.
Hilarious.
What's her name?
I think his name is Ian Edwards, I think. He's like very funny. And
Bill Burr.
And Bill Burr came out at the end, like, as a surprise. He just, like, dropped by.
Was he funny?
Hilarious. He performed for probably, like, 30 minutes.
Oh, my God.
How late did you stay?
I feel like it ended at, like, 10-something. Started at, like, 8. Yeah. There weren't, like, a ton of
Can I come with you next time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. It was so nice. She, like, messaged me. She's like, I'll give you plus ones and stuff. And I was like, what?
Hell yeah.
Did you meet John Mulaney?
No. She actually, Jason was there too, by the way. Jason and Naveen were there. Oh, I saw them go to the bathroom. Yeah. And then after I texted him, he already left. But no, she like came out to the crowd because I think she invited like so many of her friends.
Okay.
She was,
like,
saying hi. But I know. I was like, what if I meet John Mulaney? Because last time I did get to meet
Mulaney. It's not Mulaney.
I know. That's how I say it.
She was saying it on the way here. I was like, you say it so funny.
It's not a cow.
I know. John Mulaney.
Mulaney. Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
Mulaney.
Because I said it. Like, it's Mulaney.
It's an Irish.
Mulaney.
Mulaney.
Yeah, you're being offensive to my heritage.
Okay, I'm so sorry, Aaron. But yeah, last time I got to meet like Tim Dillon and Dimitri Martin. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's a good hookup she has for the Comedy Store.
Yeah, it was really crazy going backstage there because she like brought us back and like gave us a little tour.
The green room?
Yes. We got a tour of like the whole back. There was like a bar back. There's a couple bars back there. And I was just like, this is historic. Like the Comedy Store is so historic. Literally, when you walk in, it's just lined with photos of all these amazing comedians that started there, like Rosie O'Donnell, and like David Letterman, and Jerry Seinfeld, and everything. And it's just
going backstage places. Huh? Going backstage places is so cool.
It's
that have
so
like
crazy.
Historic.
Yes, I know.
Meaning, I did that when I went to New York when we went to the Fall Out Boy show. I got to do that at MSG, and I was cool. Just like,
this you went is... to the green room at MSG.
Yeah,
whoa. Aaron, that's crazy.
No, but it's like the same. Like the walls are just like lockers, but then there are like photos of people with like all the stories, and it's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like from the 70s.
It
like
was
Bruce Springsteen
so and... old, but I was like, this is so cool. And TJ's like, okay. And I was like, no, like what? This is cool.
Yeah.
Damn. Like sitting in the same chair that, I don't know, Stevie Wonder and Prince.
Some people have performed there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, the house behind the Comedy Store just went up for sale, but it's like it's has a lot of history to it because there used to be a tunnel that went under the Comedy Store.
Was it like Mitzi Shore's
house? Yeah. It was a way for comics to get out. Comics when they would come to town would stay at this one, and it goes back to even like the Marilyn Monroe days about how there's this house with this tunnel that goes between the Comedy Store.
Cool. Is it Mitzi Shore's house?
No, I don't think so, but it was for sale recently.
I wonder how much.
I buy it in like tunnels.
Did they have Jerry Seinfeld's photo?
It's in there somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, because I think there's a story that like he.
Him and Mitzi Shore like hated each other.
Yeah, he tried to perform there, and like Mitzi Shore always thought, like, who's the owner of the Comedy Store, thought
Pauly Shore's mom.
Yes, thought that comedians need to be like wounded and like angry, and Jerry Seinfeld was just this like
they
super.
They had like beef.
Yeah,
Is it this one? Mm-hmm. It's not even that expensive.
Can you buy it, Aaron, so I can crawl through?
Well, I couldn't buy it. It's actually gorgeous.
It is.
It's 3.2.
Just but buy
like
it.
For and the location,
I'll like
and
dazzle
it's enormous.
But Jerry Seinfeld was like too clean and mm-hmm. like too well adjusted. And she was like, you're too good at this and you're doing too well. Someone needs to knock you down a few like steps so you actually get hungry and angry and work really hard. And I'm going to be the person to step on you. And he was like, what the fuck? Okay.
Okay, maybe I'm lying. Maybe his picture isn't in
there. He never got to perform at the Comedy Store until he like made it over the Seinfeld show. And then he said he would get into his Porsche and drive by her house every morning and just wave to her in his like Porsche yeah. going to the show because he's like, fuck you, I made it anyway.
It was Mitzi Shore.
It was her house.
And this is me finding out Polly Shore is a Nepo baby.
Oh, yeah.
A comedy Nepo baby.
That makes so much sense.
It was actually, I remember I was at the Comedy Store right after Mitzi Shore died and Polly was like one of the performers and he goes, well, I guess the place is mine now. Like, that's how he started his set. It was like very
that
funny.
That is very
I
funny.
I see Polly Shore like at the gym. Every time I'm there.
Really?
He's just around.
He was at emo night and all was like going crazy. It was very funny.
He is such a character.
It was Nolan's first time going to emo night. And we were like walking out of the venue to just go outside. And Pauly Shore comes up to us and he goes, hey man, like to Nolan, who like has no idea what's going on. He's like, can you get me back there? And Nolan's like, oh, hello, Pauly Shore. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
An interesting man. Yeah, such that she bought it when she bought the Comedy Store.
That's so cool. Made a tunnel.
Isn't there? Is there
I haven't
got
to that
tunnel?
Yet.
I swear I saw that.
I saw the JoJo Siwa car on the highway the other day. Do you know about this?
It was her driving, probably the Lamborghini Urus she has with all of her.
I thought it was a promo, and then I asked Carly and Aaron, and they were like, no, that's her car. She drives it.
Hey, she's been driving that for years.
Yeah.
Who?
JoJo Siwa.
Oh, ever heard of her? Yeah.
And then
it says Mark Maron described his time at that house as a big, dark baptism.
Interesting.
Oh. And Pauly Shore got rid of it in the 90s.
Huh.
Oh. Pauly Shore's supposed to be playing Richard Simmons like in a new biopic, but I've also heard that.
That makes sense.
Well, they look like identical.
No, yeah. 100%, but I'm just like, he's so weird.
Yeah.
Matt and I are going to see after this. Pauly. We're going to watch the Jeopardy's Masters tournament filming today.
Oh, I thought you guys were in it.
No.
Masters?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that?
The Masters are all the people that have had like large winning streaks throughout like the normal season and they move on to the championship.
It's like the best of the best Jeopardy players.
Well, I don't want to bring this up again, but isn't Rick Glassman's brother like a Jeopardy champion?
Is he?
I'm pretty sure. He said it on a podcast.
Oh,
interesting.
Maybe he's like won before on Jeopardy? I know that he is a very, very
maybe
smart
he'll be
brother.
There.
Can you imagine if he's in the audience?
You're I'm just, excited. Like, you're just pissed off at him.
I'm trying to get that thought
I know,
out of my
okay,
head,
okay,
guys. Okay. But are we seeing just one episode? Or are they going to shoot three?
I asked him.
Three?
Well, because every Jeopardy episode, if you really cut it down to, is probably 20 minutes of footage, right? Because it's a 30-minute segment with all the ad time. So
yeah, you're probably right.
I saw a couple conflicting things online, so I just emailed the guy how long is it going to be. He said it will be about 2 hours of filming. But okay. I also read that when they do regular Jeopardy, they film 5 episodes a day. And you're there for like 7 hours, which I do not want to do because but I asked him, it's only 2 hours.
Okay.
But I've never been to like a taping of, I know you were on Let's Make a Deal.
On Let's Make a Deal.
And have you seen any other game show?
I've gone to a taping of Double Dare.
We went
to that, but we were hanging out in the
really
back.
A taping. We just
got to do the course.
The concessions and stuff.
It was fun.
And I've been to a taping of America's Funniest Videos.
Oh, really? Like in the 90s?
No, it's now,
still
what's
on.
His name?
America's Funniest TikToks.
No, the guy who does the Carlton off of...
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or exhilarating, but one thing is certain. If you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you'll gain insights and uncover truths that you can only find in therapy. Get those personal breakthroughs and judgment-free support by signing up for Talkspace. Do you think that seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find and meet with them or even afford them? Well, try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made it easy to get the help you want, making it easy, accessible, and affordable. At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. Therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and so much more. So to celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. When you go to Talkspace.com/good to match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/good to get $80 off your first month with code SPACE80 and to show your support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/good, code SPACE80. Now back to the episode.
Interesting. I'm curious to see what it's like to be. I've only been to like late night shows like Letterman, Jon Stewart.
Oh, that's so fun.
Conan, like those, but.
I heard that going to a taping of Jeopardy is so frustrating because you realize the only time when you watch Jeopardy, you just shout out the answers if you know them. And now we have to be watching it going.
Yeah, they were saying like you can't even whisper. Like you have to be dead silent the whole time because if you whisper, the audience is mic'd up and they can hear it. So if you're like, oh, it's.
Wait, why are they mic'd up?
So you can hear the applause. And like reactions of like people laughing when they interview them, like, so you like dogs? And they're like, I have a puppy. It's like,
I guess you remember like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire cheater? Do you guys remember that?
Someone cheated on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes, it was somebody who had set up, they had someone with them. I can't remember if they're married or siblings or something.
Oh, right.
And they sat like close to them, like behind them somewhere. And it was something to do with like coughing, if it was wrong or right. So the person that was in the seat would be like, I think it might be A. And the person would be like, and like I think they won a lot of money, but then people found out that it was
that's like how the Houston Astros cheated too in baseball, right?
It's an inside joke from yesterday.
I think that's how they had a guy with a garbage can, and they had someone looking at what the plays were that they were going to pitch, and they would hit the garbage can to know like don't swing or swing based on the garbage can. It would just be like a loud sound.
Smart.
I guess none of
cheating
us know
sports. Happens a lot in
baseball. I know sports, but I just don't understand what the problem is.
Basically, in baseball.
No mansplaining. You don't need to mansplain baseball to me. I probably know more than you.
I need to mansplain it to myself.
Okay.
When the person's pitching, they're looking at the catcher, and the catcher's making the signs.
You know, he's squatting, doing the 1-2.
I'm just saying, like, that's what happens,
guys,
right?
Guys, I literally...
I'm asking you to confirm that my assumptions are correct. So I believe what happened was there's someone behind the pitcher who's, with binoculars, looking at the signs.
Got it.
And if it's like a don't swing, it'll be like two hits on a big garbage can. Like someone just brought like something to make noise with.
But how would he know that it's not going to be like a strike?
I don't know. This is the extent of my knowledge. So maybe it's not the way that they cheated. But I think it had something to do with
it's just interesting to me.
Yeah. And there's that new guy that's like betting on against himself for like tens of millions of dollars. The new like...
Wait, what?
There's like this new baseball player who's like the best to ever do it. He's a pitcher. And he's now been caught gambling to the tune of like tens of millions of dollars.
Wait, I feel like I just saw this on Twitter.
Against himself, like on games. And he's so good that the league is like trying to sweep it under the rug, and he's blaming his translator and saying that, oh, his translator placed the best for him and he's not actually placing the best. But it's like a bookie's not going to take a $10 million bet from a translator. Like he's the guy, but baseball, he's like the LeBron James of baseball. So everyone is hyped on him, and MLB is like,
oh, for some reason,
we're not kicking
I thought him out. When I read about this, I thought it was just, I didn't know it was the actual baseball player. I thought it was the translator. Like he was the one that was being doing
that's what
that
they're trying to say now, but like it's coming out that like there's no way this translator is doing $10 million bets on games that this pitcher is playing in and then losing and like winning bets against himself. It's insane.
Damn.
I think all sports have people cheating on them, and like it's all a racket. You can't beat the house, but
steroids.
I don't do any of that stuff. You like steroids? Betting on like games, it sounds insane.
Dave Portnoy is winning so much money. He bet on, I think it was like women's basketball or something, and won like $3 million.
Jesus.
He bets on everything and like literally always wins.
How do people know how to like...
Every game I've bet on, I've won.
Really?
How many?
two.
Well, that's a good streak.
How much money?
Like $30.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Winning is winning.
Yeah, winning is winning. But you're every up. Game I you're bet up. On, yeah.
That's
but I slay. But I guess I have done like fantasy and I've done March Madness and stuff. But
oh, I feel like March Madness is more of like a...
It's more of a lottery of like if you get it right, guessing how it all goes. Do you know that like March Madness, though, that Warren Buffett will give somebody who has a perfect bracket $1 billion?
No, is that what it is?
It's $1 billion, but nobody has ever gotten a perfect bracket because the odds of it are mathematically nearly impossible.
A perfect bracket, $1 billion.
Yep.
He said $1 billion. I'm going to try it next year.
Yeah, sure. Try. Good luck.
It's worth it.
What the odds?
Yeah, it's better than zero.
I don't know, though, if you have to submit to his own bracket entry or what the process is. But yes,
it probably needs to be verified before the fact.
I wonder how many people submit to his bracket. And like obviously they're paying then him.
I don't know.
So he's making money.
I've read that headline.
He's making $1 billion.
I feel like ChatGPT will be able to figure it out within a few years. Like they'll just give you the bracket and that'll be it.
Well, it's all scripted anyway. So
you think so?
College,
especially
basketball?
The NFL.
Oh right, yeah, we did it, Joe. Or what? Just like we drew it up, Chiefs.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to see what Dave Portnoy said. I think it was like a TikTok or something of him being interviewed. And he was like...
$3 million on women's basketball.
I think it was either women's basketball or something that's happening right
people
now.
Bet though, like on horses and like horse races, though, are the one things where even the odds, I feel like, never end up being how it is. Like it's a total gamble on sports bet or on horse races.
It's like playing roulette.
Yeah,
like that's people who play roulette. I'm just like, how is there any strategy to this? You're literally throwing a ball on a wheel. It's a problem for a lot of people.
Roulette.
If you have any problems,
I'm not a gambler. Like I'd rather just buy clothes.
I'm not a risky gambler. I think it's fun to pass time playing the minimum.
Yeah, I like
Wheel of Fortune. Sometimes you'll walk away with a couple $100, or hey, you can even pay for your whole trip when you're gambling in Vegas, and that's a good feeling.
Or
I played blackjack every night on a cruise one time, paid for my entire trip.
Crazy.
I was up like, I don't know, like $2,000.
Damn.
Oh my God.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
I downloaded a Texas Hold'em game on my phone, and I just like play it.
Is that Beyonce?
Yeah, just to get the rush of like winning money. Because
I can never play poker. Well, wait, Texas Hold'em though? Or are you doing like poker with the dealer? No, everyone's still
Texas
playing.
Texas Hold'em.
You're playing against though, still everybody, right?
Yeah, you play against other people. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing is, I don't like playing against other people, especially in Vegas. I'll do poker with my buddies all the time.
Right.
But in Vegas, like I don't know you. You might shank me in the parking lot after. Like someone wants their money back. Like you.
That's one thing my mom would say.
My God. So careful. When you're playing blackjack, who are you playing with?
The dealer.
Oh, it's you just do it by yourself?
Yeah, you're just trying to get to you're playing against the dealer and hopefully you're
I guess whenever I played it's like fun with other people at the table.
But you're not are you not playing if there's other people like with like at the table?
Do you
you're
get
not
up
playing
and walk
against
away?
Them?
No, not really. Some people will be like, oh, you kind of messed up the flow. I was getting good cards now that you're here, but you're not playing against the other players.
No, I know, but like will you sit at a table with other people who are playing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But usually, if you're sitting at the table, you should be playing.
No.
Oh.
No, I know. I thought that you just meant like it was a one-on-one with you and the dealer.
You can do that, and I have done that.
Yeah.
That's too stressful. I can't do the math that quickly.
Yeah, those games, like, I don't know how to play them, so they just look
scary
to me.
They'll help you if you can't do the math. You'd be like, should I hit or should I stay?
I'm going to trust the person who's trying to beat me in the game?
Yes, they have to tell you to play by the book. So they'll tell you, it's like, you should hit.
Oh, like mathematically there's standards?
Yes.
Hmm.
That's why I think it's fun with other people sitting at the table, because they're like, come on, do it.
Oh, like hit.
Yeah.
What does double down mean?
Double down is if you have a really good draw that you think that the odds of the next card are going to get you closer to 21, you just double down and you double your money on it. Or you can also split it and do it that way. Like if you have two tens, they say like split. Or if you have like...
Well, how do you know what you have? Isn't one card face down?
It also depends on what the dealer has as well. There's like it's all these kind of odds of betting.
I'll watch a video.
I wish I had Patricia's dad here to fully explain it because he understands all that for me sometimes.
Do a little FaceTime with him.
Okay. Are we at time?
Yeah, it's 10:32.
Okay. Well, That was fun, guys.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you guys really enjoyed their episode with Rick Glassman. Comment down below other guests that you would like them to record without me with.
And, no, don't be like that.
We didn't like that you were in here.
Yeah. No, I preferred you were here.
Just out of all people.
I know.
My brain is going to be playing that on repeat all day. It's all good.
I feel like I need to send you like a care package.
I'm not, trust me, I'm not angry. It's just more like frustrated.
No, I get it. If it's like, if it was someone I loved, I would.
We'll get them on Hoot and a Half and then all will be well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Love you guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.